you decorate for Christmas and didn't judge you too harsh. Listeners, even though I'm Southern, so in the South, because we were raised right, we have a proper schedule of putting stuff up and also what we wear and how we approach people because we have manners on the outside. Better people on the inside. It was like, I told Stuart last night, we're going to come back to this, but I told Stuart last night, I was like, they were so nice in Minnesota and they were being so nice because it's like the Midwest. And then I kept thinking, is someone going to say like, bless your heart or be sarcastic?
They're just nice.
And I was like, he was like, y'all are not really nice. You just act nice. And I was like, that is true. There's a lot of bitterness there. Anyway, point being is that we put up our Christmas decorations after Thanksgiving. That's what you
Yeah, that I mean, that's a normal thing for most people.
But I accept that Christy is, that she's put them up early because she goes away. She has
I go.
Away. She goes away. Now, where I draw the line are two things. One, at the beginning of this podcast, before she recorded, she asked me how to spell theology. It's a true story.
It is, yeah.
Second, she suggested our drink this week could have been peppermint schnapps. We are not there yet.
Are we ever there? Are we ever at peppermint schnapps out of our 20s?
Well, no. I mean, like, in as a society, I think post-Thanksgiving, there's a lot of
suburban
women who might disagree with you. But, like, we are still in pumpkin spice latte season. Like, you were in Florida. You're still in, like, margarita season.
Spice latte season. Because Starbucks has their Christmas cups out. They've switched over to the holiday drink.
That's Starbucks. Who goes to Starbucks?
I mean, I did, but...
Okay.
I got a Christmas
cup. That question real fast.
but also,
I literally can't think. And this is not even being like a social warrior. I can't think of the last time I went to Starbucks.
Like, I don't go very often, but there is not a good local coffee shop anywhere near me. And so there are good local coffee shops, but they're solid 20 minutes away and not in the direction of work. And so like I had to go get my oil changed at the ass crack of dawn this morning. And then afterward,
10 a.m.
It was 7 a.m. Leah.
No, I don't know what those numbers mean.
That's was my appointment. So time. I had to be there at 7 a.m.
What?
To get my, it was a long story, but
I don't think it matters right now.
It doesn't matter. But the point is that after I got that done, I had to get coffee on my way to work because I was exhausted. And the only option.
Did you not take coffee with you to?
No, Sunday? I did, but I drank it all and I needed more.
Here at Theology on the Rocks, we don't judge your capitalistic choices much.
I drink a shit ton of coffee.
I'm not surprised. Well, but theirs is less about, please, listeners, correct me, but theirs feels like more like a marketing scheme as opposed to like Hobby Lobby and Michael's at Halloween, where Hobby Lobby just goes straight to Thanksgiving from summer, I guess.
Yeah.
Hobby Lobby. I walk into Michael's and all of these people are buying like all this Halloween stuff. And I'm like, you don't understand the background of this holiday. And two, because you put up the Christmas trees, Hobby Lobby. And let me tell you, that issue with the Halloween, let's take a little trip down Indigenous Lane about the Christmas trees. But also you're missing the financial trick here. So I feel like, because people will consume.
And yeah,
I think that's sort of what Starbucks is doing.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And like, I know that Starbucks is evil and I am sorry. And I don't go very often. I really don't. But what?
To be fair, there's an increasing level of evilness.
I know.
It's not to go all Nietzsche, but it is too.
I needed coffee and my options genuinely were to go to the Starbucks or to get into a car accident trying to get to Panera. Which I almost did because I was trying to get to Panera first. Panera was the ideal choice, but it was unsafe of me to try to get to Panera, so I ended up at Starbucks. So, and I got a Christmas cup and I got a peppermint latte, and it was great. No, it's just their cups are Christmas now. What, you know, not, like they're all festive.
I know they have Christmas mugs. I'm not being polite. It's not like I have not been to Starbucks. I just don't know what they look like this year. Is what?
Oh, they're just. I mean, they're the Christmas ones. I don't know. I didn't look very hard. What is that? Red and green and bows and
okay. I just holiday. They were taking like a religious angle, or I was trying to tie it into the podcast, Christy.
No, they're just. I think she they look like, at me like they look like presents. I was like, "You've seen the Christmas cups."
She looked at me like I said I'd never used deodorant before, like that I was being. Old and it's like, no, I've been.
Because I was like,
I feel like they change.
They do change every year. Yeah, they change.
I don't know what their flair is this.
The
year.
Flair this, if I remember correctly, which let's be honest, I barely looked at that thing before I chugged it.
It was a controversy, wasn't it, at one stage? The cup?
Yeah, they weren't Christmassy enough or something.
Oh, okay.
Who knows what the Christians were mad about that day, but...
Christians.
Like, we're not.
They are different.
They are different Christians. Anyway, chugged that thing and I threw it away and my eyes were barely open. And I think it had present-esque. It looked like presents.
I'm shocked that the capitalistic Christians want they're okay with the bows.
I do have a vague memory that when I was going to pay, I realized that. So they give, there's a day every year, and I only know this because one of my friends is very obsessed with it. But there's a day every year where they give you a reusable Christmas cup. Mm-hmm. And the day apparently was that day. And I remember looking over and thinking, am I going to get a reusable cup? Because I saw that they still had them, which because it was so early, I've never been there early enough that they still had them. But I did not because I got the biggest size they have and the reusable ones are the smaller size. So
I have one. Actually, here's this. I forgot as soon as you were saying those words. My little liberal arts school had a Starbucks on campus, actually. That would be the last time I had. So probably, honestly, in the hand to heart, probably five. When did I stop working here?
3 years ago?
3 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I
frequented. That's fair. I mean, I used to go to Starbucks really regularly. And then I moved to Scotland and
Starbucks on the rocks, guys. It's
Starbucks on the rocks. We've gone into
iced coffee.
I mean, a dirty chai from Starbucks is great. Iced dirty chai. I'm here for it. But like I used to go because there were like three on my way to work when I lived in Denver. And so I would drive through. But when I moved to Scotland, there's like two and they're always jam packed and they have terrible coffee. And there are 17 coffee shops that are better and less insane.
This is a lot of coffee chat.
And so I just...
I feel good about it.
Really picked back up is what I was trying to say.
I was a barista, if you want to talk Scotland, except that I now realize that none of the things are the same. Like, well, the like designations are not the same. Yeah. So I would mention something in the U.S. and they would be like, I don't, like a flat white. And they would be like, I don't know
what that is. Although you want to know an exciting piece of information is that one of my students works at Starbucks and they get a free bag of coffee every month, but they don't drink coffee. And so I have now received two bags of Starbucks coffee from my student and I'm pretty excited.
I never got any coffee.
Just because I don't have to buy more coffee.
That's true. I did get I'm trying to find it.
And they even asked me, they were like, what do you want? Blonde? Do you want?
I was trying to keep it in the fridge as long as possible.
I love how that got presented.
Did you show it off?
At least a sip.
There's the beer. Oh, God.
As though it was the baby Jesus or Simba from Lion King.
Simba from Lion King. Welcome to Theology on the Rocks, where Leah is making us drink her least favorite alcohol. Beer.
I'm drinking beer, but I'm not
proud. Leah's drinking beer.
I have also got seltzer here. Because I don't plan on this being No, you saw it. It's coming. I saw. I kept it in the fridge for as long as possible.
I went. Leah said, "Let's do Oktoberfest beer," and I was like, "That sounds great." And we can drink them in our Theology on the Rock steins. I poured it in. I did a really bad job of pouring it in because it turns out I'm bad at pouring beer. I want to say, actually, Leah's about to drink pumpkin beer, guys. This is exciting.
It's very
It's not good. It's not good. She's crying. There's some gagging. Stuart's patting her on the head.
It tastes like pumpkin. It just tastes like a cinnamon fairy. upon this beer.
Cinnamon maybe beer. Fairy.
I can't even taste if it's beer. It just tastes like cinnamon.
Pumpkin spice.
No, but that's not pumpkin. It's cinnamon.
No, but it's the
pumpkin spice. Yeah.
You guys can
it's a tricky term. Pumpkin spice is not pumpkin. It's the spices you put in pumpkin pie.
PSL doesn't taste like pumpkin either.
I mean, like.
So it's like nutmeg it's and.
IPA.
Yeah, that's gross. It's a Sam Adams Jacko.
Shout out to my friend Aaron. You're all over on Halloween.
The use it gets put to.
Thanks, Aaron. I love y'all. I love you all. I'm drinking your beer. You can take. Okay. Okay.
You can drink that, Leah. I personally.
I think I'm taking more sips than you have at this stage. It does kind of.
I actually like mine. Mine is good.
Spice latte if I.
If you. About it if you don't think about it too hard. If you pretend that it's a different drink.
That's my idea. Much like things like my PhD and other forms of torture, I did create a world of my own being here.
So my beer, because I went to the store because you said, let's do Oktoberfest. And I was like, great. Turns out you cannot buy Oktoberfest beer in mid-November.
Well, because it's technically September is Oktoberfest.
So I know. We're deeply behind in that. So I decided instead to get this because it's called Unholy. It's American triple. It's an American triple called Unholy. And then there's a little like monk looking dude. It's so funny. It's pretty strong. 9.2.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Sacrilegious amounts of hops with a traditional Belgian touch.
See, your local theological auntie, you can always tell, worked in a bar because she's like, a triple? What percentage is that? At least it's not an IPA. I learned a PhD-worthy amount in this last bar.
Yeah. So one of my favorite beers, because I actually do like beer. I just don't drink it very often. But my favorite beer is a beer called it's called the Reverend. It's Avery, it's a Denver beer company, and it's a quad, and it's super strong.
You already said your favorite beer was Delirium, and I think about that every time I see it. So you're lying.
Oh, I like Delirium. It's not my favorite, but I like Delirium.
She's lying to us all. People, just keep that in mind.
The Reverend Avery also has a really good white called.
Where is it from again?
Boulder, Colorado.
Colorado.
Yes, this is not shocking to anyone. White Rascal. It's called White Rascal. Why do you think that I would choose a beer that's from somewhere else? Delirium's from Belgium.
Dude, I've already got into it today. Well, actually, Christy and I didn't get into it. Christy and Stuart got into it. We are in a group chat.
Stuart and I didn't even get into it. This podcast has taken such a turn.
This crazy fucking beer.
Ah! The beer. It's the beer. Stuart and Leah think that I care about their opinions about Bonet.
It's not my opinion. He had to shut down his social media today. Because did you see that?
He didn't shut it down today. He shut it down a while ago. He just doesn't care.
The article said 2 days ago when they were interviewing him.
Well, yes, they interviewed him 2 days ago. That's not the day he shut it down.
It sounded like it was.
Oh, it did not.
It doesn't matter. He had to shut down his because it was so
bad. Yeah, because people are shitty.
So don't say your opinions.
You have had this opinion for quite some time.
I gave you the opinion of how he was in college, which was not fantastic. I passed that along. But now he is gone, fly by away. I don't care what he's doing. But I'm telling you, the internet has thoughts.
Leah, if you think that I'm not aware of that.
I know you are.
And that I also do not care that the internet.
Here's the difference between me and Christy, and this is a very interesting difference. I can tell you every bit about UGA right now, and I won't because we already spent too much time on pumpkin spice latte. But I can tell you everything about that team that is crap. Like active steaming piles of poop.
Yeah, sure. I can also do that with the Broncos. I'm not going to do it to you because
I would do you're it to you. Because of what?
Because you're not a Bronco fan.
I don't care.
Jen and I will sit and have very real conversations about the Broncos.
Why does it matter what the fandom is? It's the same existence whether you're a fan or not.
No, because no,
that's where because we're different.
You that's right. will I use it against me as you often do. Don't look shocked. You do it all the time.
I think college fans.
It's like siblings. It's like I can make fun of my siblings, but if you make fun of my siblings, we're going to have words, right?
And you make fun of my one. So I don't know what you're talking about.
But you know this whole, like, people are like, I can say shit about my family, but you can't say shit about
me. We don't do that.
That's how I feel. I'm going to talk shit about, like, but also at the moment, and I'm very serious when I say this because I was talking to Jen about it. At the moment, I am not unhappy with any of the players on the Broncos except for our kicker, Crawshaw.
You are very, in terms of what I've read of the Bronco Nation, you are very alone in that. And
no, I'm not.
I'm glad for you, though.
There are many Bronco fans who are doing the thing. And again, this is a long conversation that we can have elsewhere. Like, Broncos fans have had
biology today. I don't think so.
We've had a real bad history of hating quarterbacks that I have been against for a very long time. And you can ask many people, but this is a stance that
you told me. I believe you.
Yeah.
I don't know that you might need to pass it along to your fellow people.
So no, because they've been
talk to me, maybe you like should talk on the internet to these people.
Oh, I have.
Okay.
Oh, I have.
Okay.
They've been shitty to quarterbacks. Like John.
I don't need convincing. That's why I don't care. 16 who I years old.
So not only retired when I was 16, and we've been shitty to quarterbacks ever since. So, like, that's part of the tradition. Okay. They're going to be shitty. They were shitty about Peyton Manning.
Good.
Hall of Famer who took us and won a Super Bowl. They were shitty about Jake Plummer, and now they pretend like they loved him the whole time. And I'm here to tell you that they did not. And, like, he's my imaginary husband. I love him so much.
Oh. I mean, good to know.
I've told you about him before.
I know the name. I just don't know what his face is.
That's okay. You don't need to know that.
What he did. But you have talked to him.
I love him endlessly.
So the difference I do think is that we are okay talking about it. Like, I can talk. My neighbors are Clemson fans, and we can each talk about the direness.
I just don't have anything bad to say right now. We're 8-2.
But even have we're all happy, of the
games been great? No, but we're still 8-2.
Right, but we're still self-deprecating.
Oh, yeah.
When we're in a good place.
Yeah.
It's a little like the Digi-Eye. Like, you can't be, like, if you would be seen as being incredibly too enthusiastic right now. Like, you're prime for being picked on.
Oh, I don't care about that.
That's... I know you don't!
I think that's cool.
Give me this pumpkin beer. No one denies that you don't care. I'm just saying.
I just don't. I'm going to have happiness and joy.
Well,
anyway.
I've only had like 3 sips. I'm mad about it. So, guys, outside of Starbucks
and beer and the Bronco
of at this stage. We didn't talk about our animals or poop so far, so I think we're...
I know, we're doing really well.
Truly, truly killing it. So, we decided to do a recap because we haven't seen you guys in a bit, and part of that is because you need to blame the boy podcasters that you may well know and love.
Yeah.
Because I was on...
let's tell them no. You have excellent news about your podcasting.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Extravagance.
Trip gave me Homebrew Christianity.
Trip has passed the reins. No. Can you imagine?
Really kind of him. I now am a professional podcaster, even though I can't work the internet. So that's...
Leah does zero of the admin for our podcast.
I do zero admin. Who does the admin? That's a fantastic question. I was on a round table with Tom Ward's and Tripp mm-hmm. and Josh Patterson of Rethinking Faith.
Yep.
And we talked about how I didn't like process theology.
Yep.
And I drank a bunch of wine.
And I agreed with you and I yelled about it from the comfort of the sauna.
It was really hard because everyone always told me that Tom Ward was really nice.
He's so nice.
Tom Ward is so nice.
We have no business talking to that.
He's so nice in a way that like Christy and I couldn't even pretend to be nice. And so when he starts talking, it's just like, oh, well, like I can yell at Tripp fine. We're long past that.
I too, like when you interact with people who are like genuinely nice, do you start like just, I shouldn't speak because certainly no. do something terrible to this human who's really lovely.
No, I think
I get very overwhelmed.
I think I can't pick on them. I change because I sort of gravitate towards sarcasm and picking on. If I think you are like an intellectual equal, then I'll start messing around with you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't just like pick on people. I'm not a bully. In that sense. But like if you're really nice, then I have to adjust. So I'm just like, oh, okay.
Oh, we're being nice now.
Being yeah. nice academically.
I just start getting really intimidated by their niceness. I'm like, oh no, because I'm.
But you got to dig through it to see if it's real. That's the Southern.
Yeah, you do. But
in his is real.
Not in my nature to interact with people who are very nice.
You are from the middle.
I am from Colorado. Leah is the one of the two of us. So
well, everyone thinks you're the nice one. I said this whenever you were whacking Josh Patterson with a chain.
Quieter or like out in public. Yeah.
Or I think but it's funny to see the pictures. If you look at the pictures of us at beer camp, which we'll get into in a minute, Christy looks like she's having the best time just like totally smacking Josh Patterson with a chair, which we'll talk about.
It was great. I was thrilled.
There's one really unfortunate picture where Christy is just like, yes! She's like bent down, like, are you okay?
He is like, are you okay? And I'm like reveling in joy. It's fantastic.
Really funny. So I did that with them, and that was really fun. That was in Charlotte after one of their like, you know, blue shoe conferences or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Circle jerk. Then, I can say it now because Tom's not here. And then I went on. Well, Christy's been on Emojellicals a couple times, haven't you? Or at one time?
One time recently. But you are now an official.
I'm official.
What is it? You're the 33rd host.
I'm the 45,000th.
45,000th host of Systematic.
Really cool avatar on system.
You got such a cool avatar. I'm super excited about it. Yeah.
But first, so with the systematic ecology, those guys that some of y'all may know because there's a bunch of them. But I at first I was like, well, I want to be Ripley from Aliens because that's why I like horror. But then like I'm Leah, so it feels
you are Leah.
A missed trick there. So yeah. I said, could I be Princess Leah in the gold bikini? And they just laughed at me uncomfortably because it's a bunch of men. And I said, but for real. See, this is where you see the picking line. I said, but for real. And they continued to laugh uncomfortably. And mm-hmm. I said, okay. So they put me in not the gold bikini, just in the Leah outfit.
In the Leah outfit. But you have like wine and a cat. And
I have a cat.
Yeah.
And they gave me a cat, an alien, a xenomorph, and a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
So I feel very
it's a great spoiled. Avatar. It's a great avatar.
Yeah, I need to make it into a t-shirt, and I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now, I'm one of the hosts on the Geek Hall, and they run a tight ship over there. I feel
nice than we are.
As soon as they were like, we need to train you, and I was like, I'm sorry, what? You gotta train me? What are you training me for? They're very good at what they do.
Wow. You know what? Good for them. I'm glad. But I am also now on Emojellicals. It's a once a month
podcast. You're your host on the Emojellicals.
So I am joining up with Emojellicals. And I got to tell you, if.
Bracelets.
Yeah. Oh, I like that one. Yeah.
That was made by, what was her name?
She's so nice. I can't believe we forgot. Nice. She made really nice bracelets. Really amazing ones. Yeah. So sorry. We will find your name.
Next time.
Yeah. But yeah, so but it is a less organized podcast than ours is. So we went totally opposite direction. Because it goes, Josh Patterson texts me and says, "Are you free right now?" And I say yes, because I have no life. And then we record.
No.
So it's great. But yeah, it's a wildly unorganized. So you are on a super organized podcast and I am on a super unorganized podcast. And here we are in the middle ish.
I got
with ours.
Sure. I got put on, this has been my big thing this week, is I got asked to be the chair of the editorial board of Practical Theology, which is our big, big journal. I'm trying to see who they're with. This is.
Yeah. No, it's very.
Oh, it's Rutledge. It's Rutledge.
Yeah. So, no, that's very. I'm super excited for you to do that.
Me too. I'm excited to do it because they were like, "You feel like a champ. You can champion Practical Theology," and I was like, "Yay!" Like,
this is
fun. Also, I can maybe convince the people in the U.S. that they're doing Practical Theology wrong, and maybe AAR won't be so hard.
Best of luck.
Best of luck. Best of luck, right? Indeed. Yeah. So. That's a fun thing that's happened. I don't need to look at this too much or I'll start diverging into something else. But so that's exciting. And I was really appreciative of that. I've been on the editorial board of that, for quite some time. So I feel very happy about that.
I feel like, so we've had some, these are all the reasons we've been absent, y'all. Though we did have our
work,
we have to actually earn money. We had our book club. Our book club met to discuss Boy Erased, and that was great. As per usual, and we have one coming up on the 20th, nope, 19th, on the 19th.
Oh dear God.
The Wednesday, for the Lord of the Flies.
Oh, okay.
And that's going to be great. So yeah, lots of exciting things happening. Just not recording an episode.
People keep trying to take us away from each other.
No, it's rude.
Whether it's Bodix or Josh Patterson.
Try it. We will be reunited again in just like a week.
Hopefully.
A little over a week, hopefully, in Boston for AAR. All of the fingers and toes crossed, because the flying thing is a mess.
Because I fly in the afternoon. That's my problem.
My flight.
We're in a ward at AAR, so we'll see how that goes.
I know. I'm excited for that.
Christy is doing a paper AAR.
I am.
Are we just killing it?
We are killing it. We're killing it. We're amazing.
We're amazing.
And humble.
Insane. So we went to beer camp, and we, Theology Beer Camp, hosted by Trip Fuller, amongst a myriad of others. And we've been doing that now I've been doing it for, I guess, 4 years now, and this is your third year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did our Hot Ones Challenge, which is available on
YouTube.
The YouTube.
The link is in our bio on all the things if you're trying to find it, but it's on our YouTube. Yeah.
And we had, it should be said, when Tripp did his review of Beer Camp on Homebrewed, he said, you know, "Oh, you got roped into it. Oh, you got da da." I'm gonna do a little correction corner here.
Yeah.
From actually, what was ours? I know you didn't.
I know you didn't. Yeah.
So here's our little "I know you didn't." By the way, that was for my favorite murder. Don't sue me.
Yeah.
I know you didn't say that you got roped into anything.
Mm-mm.
Here's the deal. Will Rose of Systematic Geekology messaged us.
Yes.
On the Instagram. I don't know why I keep putting "the." It makes me feel
weird. The Instagram.
Instagram.
He did, though. He reached out.
Requested to be on.
"Please let me do Hot Ones with you," is what he said. We said, "Of course, Will Rose, we love you. Come join us in this horror." And then he got very
ill.
Yeah, Will fell ill.
Camp and was huddled up in a nursery.
Yep, hugging a bear.
Hugging a bear in a nursery. That's the true story. And not like hangover sick, like exhaustion sick.
Like, because he's busy.
He'd been traveling a lot too.
Yeah.
He was worn.
he was born.
That was fine because no one wants to eat that when you're anything but top notch.
And no. So
then it got passed around to some people, to which eventually our friend Ryan Doe's
stepped up. He said, I can do this. I'm going to be there. I'm going to do this, because several people said, absolutely not. Myron Penner said, absolutely.
Josh Patterson said,
absolutely not.
We're naming and shaming.
Bryant said, if you can't find anyone else.
Our good friend Bryant said he would. Stacey Floyd Thomas of Vanderbilt fame was into it, except that she had no prep for it.
She didn't have time. But
she's going to be maybe next year. Tripp, who I'm going to say, Tripp, you every year say that you want to, but then
you never do.
You don't do it.
So Ryan stepped up. He was like, I'm here. I'm going to do this. And Ryan says that it's because he didn't want us to shame him, which we would have done as we just did.
I wanted to say to him, we would never do that.
And we would absolutely have done that.
We just did that.
So he is.
And you may say, why didn't we ask any girls? Well, because there's like four of them.
Yeah. So, also, and they were working their asses off doing other things.
I was like, Bren, who she's doing.
Bren is doing too much important stuff. We can't hurt her. On
the stage somewhere.
Sarah needs to not be hurting. You know, like, right? The women are doing the important work. We cannot interrupt that. So
I'm shocked.
Anyway, so Ryan, we've said this a number of times, but I'm here to say it again. This was the worst by far.
Stuart was having a time. If you watch that video, like, Stuart is having a time.
He's having a bad time, as were we all. But like, Stuart is so calm and like also enjoys more of them than is humanly natural. Like, he's like, oh, this is good. And I'm like, that's not true.
But he really did enjoy himself.
Yeah.
But not this time. And so I'm going to do a public call, a public challenge, if you will. And I'm going to say for next year, because there was some talk on that review of Beer Camp that at first we just said we were going to do it and we did it, which is.
That's accurate. Yeah.
And now it's just on the schedule. Well, I'm going to send out a challenge. Trip Fuller next year.
This is your official challenge, Trip Fuller.
Stacey is always welcome. Like, we are in awe and in love with Stacey at an academic level.
Stacey can do, if Stacey wants us to do anything, I'm there.
She will be there.
Whatever. We
will move heaven and earth.
Absolutely.
This is an official challenge to Trip.
Yeah. So, yep. Trip, are you man enough? Are you man enough? Because Ryan Doe's, he conquered Hot Ones Challenge.
He sure did.
And Tom Herman's Webster conquered it the year before.
Stuart Gibb does it every year.
So time for you to step up, Trip. That's all I'm saying.
So we did that, and we have questions that were left over that you guys asked us.
Yes.
Also, I will say that they came with Hot Ones questions. That I didn't look at because I was like, that would be fun to look at anyway.
Yeah.
So then we also, on the opening night, which I need to preface this with a lot of preface. Christy got in much earlier than I did. Christy and I have to take Ativan, which is anti-anxiety medication to get on planes.
Yeah.
It just is what it is. You have to
We're
do
not
it.
Good at flying. It's just, it's
you want us in the air. That's what has happened.
We got to be drugged up. Yep.
I came in later thinking that what we were doing was on Friday, when in fact it was on the day that I was coming in, and I was really sort of really pushing for time. So I get in from Charlotte, and I am on Ativan, and so I get into a taxi and I make my way directly there, and then all of a sudden Ash is like, so Christy's like, we knew about this happening, but again, I thought it was going to be tomorrow. We are doing this thing where we basically conquer Josh Patterson and we take the beer camp,
which, where is that? Who has that? I don't have that. Do you have that?
We don't have the belt. It was in my bag and now it's not.
Yeah, it's gone.
And I don't know where I would like to send out a challenge to both Josh Patterson and Ryan Doze as to where our belt is.
Where is our belt?
But we are the champions.
You earned that. I hit air.
Belt or no?
Belt or no. We're the champions.
I was very not I wasn't even drunk. It's a different sort of like feeling.
No, it's a totally different situation.
It's like you can talk. You remember. I wish I didn't remember the conversations. I do. It's just that you don't. It's the thing that makes you not care. That's anti-anxiety meds is that you don't care.
You don't care.
I was talking to people that I should not have been talking to. So I see, for instance, the next day I'm on a panel with Adam Clark, Stacy, and Juan, her husband.
Yep.
Who are what is the last? I just said it.
Floyd Thomas. Stacy and Juan Floyd Thomas, who were at Vanderbilt. Excellent scholars. Wonderful people. Stacy is my new favorite human. Yeah. Like,
unequivocally. And also Adam, who we've known a couple years, he's at Xavier, also amazing.
Yeah.
And I came up because I was going to be.
Can I just like really quickly? Adam is one of my favorite people to sit anywhere near.
He's so funny.
But he's really quiet about his funniness. And I try to just like sit close enough, you know, without being a weird guy or like, cause we're not friends. He doesn't know me, but I'm like always just trying to be like close enough that I can hear what he's saying.
You caught the bug. That's what I do with Jorg. Remember I told you, I just try to get him to laugh.
Yeah.
My goal with Adam is
just to be around him.
He reminds me of this sounds creepy to Adam, but it's not supposed to be. But that's what drew me to Stuart. Stuart would say these like really funny quips.
Very
randomly. And you'd just be lucky if you could hear them because they were funny, but he was quiet. And so I'd just be like, oh my gosh, like, oh, did you hear what it was? And that's kind of like Adam. Adam and Stuart
are very similar. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And so I always am just like, for some reason in my Adamant brain, and keep in mind, I'm the only white person on this panel that is about liberation theology. And so I was going to talk about feminist and queer theology, which I'm writing on now. So I was like, so that was what I was doing in that. But it was a great panel, by the way.
It was a great panel.
Enjoyed it.
Amazing.
They're amazing. I'm in awe. I'm glad to have been a part of that. But I see on this Thursday, that was on Friday. On Thursday, I see Adam and I'm like, I must talk to him. Yeah. He's the one I
know. Surely this conversation will go well.
This is also, it's true, you know, Adam is shy. So I was just like, guys, if you remember, it was sort of like when I was really hungover at AR after the Scottish reception and I saw Sir Very Reverend Chaplain to the Queen, David Ferguson. And I was like, I have to talk to that guy, you know? And it's like, there's no reason for that.
This is not the time.
I get it in my head that I have to. So I went to Adam and I was like, hey.
Yeah.
He was talking to Juan at the time, who I didn't know was Juan because I hadn't met him yet. But he was talking to him. And this guy's looking, Juan's looking at me just like cracking up. Because he is like, who is this person? Because I'm also dressed like a 13-year-old boy at the time. Yeah. There's no indication that I'm talking or anything. And so I said, hey. I was like, look, I'm just telling you right now, I'm not talking about black theology or womanist theology, just so you know. And he was like, that, okay. And I said, because you know I'm not talking about it. And I was, he was like, that one, Stacey's husband is racking. Just sitting here screaming at these two, like, African-American men about how I'm not going to talk about black theology.
I also need you to know that because you guys were outside when this happened, you had just arrived. Gone off the plane, just arrived. I had said to Leah, she was texting me and you'd sent me your Uber ride. So like I knew where she, and I got her a seltzer and I was like on my way to find her, but I got lost in the church. And I went out the wrong door, found myself holding a pint of beer and a pint of seltzer. So I'm double fisting it outside in Minnesota. just on the street, right? I don't know the laws here. Are they wild like we are? I don't know. So I like start trying to like kind of like casually, I'm trying to, you know, nonchalantly not draw attention, whatever. And a cop drives by and I immediately panic because I'm bad at breaking laws. And so I'm like, ugh! And I dive into some trees. and then I emerge out of the trees holding the beers. And there's Leah.
Yeah, at the moment that I got out of the cab, and I think it was like Ryan or Bryant or somebody that was helping me, or Phil.
You were already talking to people. And, okay. Because I was.
Like a hobbit.
I came out of the trees like a hobbit. And I was like, I'm here! Double fisting it. I'm here! And Leah, high as a kite, is like, what just happened? It was a. I didn't understand where I came from. Like I was like, I don't know. I found a door. It was a secret door. I never found that door again. Oh, had two beers, running from the cops for no reason.
It was so funny. That's exactly what happened. And I just was like,
yeah,
what's going on? So, yeah. Yeah. We made it. So after I got through talking to people that I shouldn't. Shout out to everyone. Sorry. Telling everybody, by the way, that I was on Ativan. I had to be really clear to everyone that this is what was happening. Then we had to go and do a thing on the stage where we reclaimed the belt because we had been, you know, we had been a little mad the whole time that we were commenting on Josh's stuff on Rethinking Faith and he wasn't engaging. And
he was ignoring us. He was being a misogynist. He signed my book and gave it away.
I saw that.
So Leah jumped up on stage to yell at him. And while she was doing that, I had to pick up the chair and come forward and hit Josh with this chair. Which we had practiced because it's wrestling, so it's fake. So we had practiced it. Leah had not because she wasn't there, but Josh and I had practiced it a few times.
Part was more important than me just crap talking some.
Yeah, yeah. Like Josh tried to show me like here's how to do it and everything, which was entirely too complicated. If I'm being honest with you, like what he wanted me to do with the chair, I was like, this is all making this very difficult. Like
bruises on his back say different, girlfriend.
Well, so all in all of our practice runs, Tony Jones is sitting there and he's like, you have to hit him harder. And I kept saying, I will. And they said, Sarah Heath and Tony Jones were like, you won't. You have to hit him harder now. You won't hit him harder then. And I was like, no, I promise you, I will hit him harder then.
You hit him hard.
And
eyeball message.
I don't think anyone believed me. So, like, I came out and I was like,
I warned him with my eyes that you were behind. And yeah. Again, in my mind, I was like going like this.
She's like, wide eyed at him.
Huge.
Yeah.
But he, apparently, I did not.
Did not pick up on that because you didn't do that. And so
I didn't care because I was on anti-anxiety.
And he said that he kind of saw you and he thought maybe it was coming, but he didn't know for sure. And I whacked him and dented the chair.
You did.
There's a big old dent in it.
Ryan took the chair home.
He landed somehow on, you know, as he like fell. He said he landed somehow and had a giant bruise from landing. And yeah, and then Leah.
The chair.
I mean, he says it's from landing, but you know, I think he's just trying to.
I think he's trying to make you feel better.
Because I was like, you told me to hit harder.
So now we are the Theology Beer Camp champions. Yeah. And
it was a good time.
It was amazing. And I was sitting next to someone in the front row. Here is the annoying thing. We're not trying to advocate for this medication. It's just what gets us by. But a lovely couple, if you're listening, were trying to talk to me about their cats. Because I had cat shoes on because I thought it was going to be cold. So I wouldn't wear my typical uniform flip-flops. But I was like, she's like, oh my God, I have a black cat. And she was like, showing me pictures of the cat. And the thing is, I was like, I wanted to have a conversation, and this is the annoying thing. When you're drinking, you can stop, and you can kind of, like, focus.
Yes.
But she was talking to me about her cat, and I was just like, what?
Yeah, I know.
Like, I was like, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I just was like, and I can talk to you about Cats for so long, but
not on that band.
If you happen to listen, know that I care very much about your cats, and I want to hear. Please find me next year,
yeah,
so that I can hear about the cats.
I mean,
I feel like I was a space cadet.
I think
all
that
of a sudden I just like popped my hood up and just like talked to them about cats. Popped my hood up, ran on stage. I'm sure they were like, "Wow." So that's fine.
One of the things I will say, because I've been taking Ativan for several years now, and you're newer to the Ativan game,
yeah,
is that I have what I will call coping mechanisms, because I know
coffee is your coping mechanism.
I get off the plane, coffee, it's essential. It's essential.
And the nearest Starbucks.
but I have ways to kind of, because I have done some pretty insane things on Ativan. And so I have ways to like kind of hold it in now, you know, like,
cool. I'm glad for you.
So I recognize what's about to happen, but I will tell you, because the flight home. So Leah and I both, we left really like maybe 15 minutes apart, and she flew obviously to North Carolina. I flew to Florida. Her pilot says to them, "Be glad you're not flying to Florida."
He did. He sure
because
did.
There was a horrific storm that we had to fly through.
We were in a group text. I was texting at the time. And as I was texting, because we hadn't turned off the phone time yet, because we were just sitting because Hello shut down. And he said, "Well, guys, we're going to North Carolina. It's going to be a little bit bumpy," which it was. And he was like, "But just be glad you're not going to Florida." And all of a sudden my fingers just went, whoop, nope.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I was like, I'm not
doing that. When I tell you, we got delayed a little bit, but then like, and I can't really remember because again, Ativan, but I had taken an extra pill because I knew something was going to happen. But when I tell you, like, it was so turbulent. And in my head, I was sitting in my seat going, "It's okay, it's okay, it's okay," in my head, right? Because I was trying to like cope with how bad the turbulence was. I'm almost positive I was actually sitting there out loud going, "It's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay." That's fair.
So one thing we should say is we are not advocating.
No, you know what? Talk to your doctors. It's a prescribed controlled medication. So talk to your healthcare professional.
Provides you with medication.
And if you could take something less intense than Ativan, you should do it.
And so we're talking about responsible usage.
Responsible usage of Ativan.
Both do wish. Honestly, I wish that I could have turned it on and turned it off. That was the desire. So I think that's where we're at.
We went through, I went through years of attempts at doing something other than drugs for flying.
I didn't take it on the way back because I was a bit burnt by it.
Yeah.
And I cried
for
most of the way. So like, and I was very deeply disturbed. So I think, you know, you gotta figure out.
Sometimes take the drugs. I mean, like Pete Davidson said, take the drugs.
Like, if they are
take them. If there's a reason, if you've been prescribed, take them.
I will say Minnesota, we had talked a lot about
Minnesota.
It being very cold and
scary. It was so lovely.
Lovely. Christy got to actually see what fall looked like. I had already
seen.
Oh
my God.
But she got to see leaves.
I got to see leaves. I took so many pictures of one singular tree because it was right outside our very beautiful Airbnb, may I say.
Very beautiful.
Our Airbnb was beautiful. We had one tree.
I'm like an advocate of St. Paul now.
I know. I bought a mug. I bought a St. Paul mug because I was so like, you know what? I've had a fantastic time and it's gorgeous. And I will only ever go there in October.
Same.
But
hold on the way back. We are on the cab ride back. The guy goes, "Well, you missed this." Or I said, "I think we just missed the snow." He goes, "Yeah, it's snowing 6 months out of the year." And then I told him I'd never shoveled snow and he cackled.
I also cackled, but yeah.
Like, I don't even know what that would be like. I don't have a shovel. I
still have an ice scraper in my car at this very moment.
Because
I don't know how to not have an ice scraper in my car. people have asked me multiple times, why do you have this in your car? You live in Florida. And I'm like, because you should have an ice scraper.
In North Carolina, we would get ice on the windshield, but like, we don't shovel snow. That's insane. Why would you?
No, I'll only ever go in October. Also, I will also say the airport, by the way, if you are not at the same terminal, don't get dropped off at the same terminal.
Sorry.
They are not close. They are not close. You should get dropped off at the terminal you are supposed to be
Charlotte,
at.
Charlotte, you go in, and, like, they're all there. You just go
Tampa,
to ABCD. Like,
Tampa, you can get to all of the terminals.
Right.
You know, Denver, you can get to all the terminals. So I just assumed. Mm-hmm. But that is not true. Go to the terminal you have been assigned.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but we had a lovely time.
We did. And then I got to do the panel with Stacey Will and Adam, of which reply. I did not talk about Black theology, but I got to talk about feminist and queer mm-hmm. theology and stuff like that. And
it was a great panel.
It was a great panel. I enjoyed myself. I got to watch Kelly Brown Douglas, who's someone I've talked to. And
Kelly Brown Douglas. Oh my God. I got to talk to her. I got to talk to her. It was a moment. I got
to talk to her because I
got too nervous to ask for a picture, but oh.
But
she's lovely.
I did find out that she didn't study under. Did Stacy study under Kelly Brown Douglas? Or I can't remember, but she studied some people around her.
Stacy studied with Katie Cannon, who.
There you go. MVD, my gosh.
I mean, she.
Heavy hitters.
My one thing
is, I did see, like, while we were doing our panel, that Kelly Brown Douglas was in, like, the wing behind you.
Yeah.
And I was just watching us, and I was like, this is fine. I did get to meet her, but she's watching us.
She's watching you, yeah. That was
great. And I did get to advocate that Vanderbilt should give me a job. I always lay it on thick. I keep waiting.
If they would just hire both of us, we would be, we could tag two things.
I know one guy at UGA, and I tell him on the regular. AR Southeast, I tell him regularly I'm going to take his job, and he thinks.
I drove by Vanderbilt this summer, and it's a beautiful campus. So.
Oh my.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean,
It's money.
So we did that. We did our hot ones. We did a really fun panel on humor, where we got to talk about Rocky Horror and Monty Python and humor in general. But it was a really good beer camp. I feel like the vibes were really great.
They were.
We got to experience the influencer house and the weird influencer room. And
we got to hang out with, so our house was like,
Leah and Tim. What is Tim's last name? Why am I spacing? Tim Whitaker. Yes. Jeez. Oh, Tim and Leah are mortal enemies now. Yeah.
Because I mocked him. I made Tim of the new evangelicals because he kept being on his phone, and then we were talking about academics, and then Christy was being very kind and saying, you know, Leah's got this going on, and you know, because we up each other, that's what we do. He was like, oh, like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, well, what are you doing? Are you gonna talk about, like, Christian nationalism again? Are you currently filming yourself?
And he made us be on his live. He was like, guys, I need to record. And we were like, this is actually happening. We got to be on an influencer's live. It was hilarious.
You know, and I just said, like, he got, like, locked in his room. And I said, I bet you recorded that, didn't you? And he was like, actually, I did. And
I did.
So I think it was just a funny house, because it was like, you get to see.
It's a good house, yeah.
The sort of collide of, like, actual influencers. Because Christy, you know, and we like to fancy ourselves as being influencers, but we're not that way.
Look, y'all know we are bad at all of this.
We have to, it's not our job. We have jobs. So, but it's
funny. I had to answer questions about the comet the other day.
Oh my God. Don't do that, because you're going to start a call. But so it was funny to see, they had a house that had, like, this, like, grass wall, and then there was another.
And, like, a neon sign.
Yeah, there was a room that. I didn't fit that video up of me and Will Rose because of my teeth.
We did not put that up. That's not for public consumption, Leah.
I already put it up on my Instagram. I didn't care. I'm the one that's the problem. I'm okay with it. I don't see what the problem is.
I think that it got vetoed by the rest of the group, though.
It got vetoed by Brennan Tripp. Who cares?
It was.
Did
We'll crop a little section and put a little section up.
Maybe anything crazy. We've said more things crazy in this recording than we've said in that.
I don't think you remember that video.
I sure don't.
That's entirely.
Oh no. Well, we'll talk about later.
But one of the things I liked about this beer camp though is that it felt very communal. Like good meetings, felt like people were having good building of relationships and things like that, which was great. And
it felt like it was solidifying something for me. Like it was like, you know, it felt like we knew who, like we saw returning people who we always love to see and I get to have chats with, and then like,
yeah,
which is always amazing. And then you know, we got to see the pot, like just being on, I mean, you and I being on the humor thing with Will and TJ, it was a Systematic Ecology podcast, and it's like just being included in that was awesome. And
yeah,
that we're friends with them. And so, you know, I think it's kind of, Tripp said it in his review, which was that you know, he wants people to do it like church, like to take it on and make it their own. And I think that's what happened with this one.
Yeah.
That hasn't happened previously, which is great. Like we're telling him what to do. Also, yeah. He won this incredibly large.
Oh my God. Leah won this humongous pint. Like my pint could fit inside of that pint.
Doing a game show.
It was that game show we did. I don't even remember what that was called, but it was a good time. We had fun.
Also, we have questions.
And also, I just wanted to shout out Tony Jones real quick because this is the first year Tripp has not lost money on beer camp, and I'm really excited about that for him. So,
sure didn't know that. Where did you find that
out? Tripp said it on that. Okay. It was a kind of a side note, and I think somebody else confirmed it, but like, I know that he had help, especially from Tony. And I'm assuming people don't know this, but it's a very expensive thing to put on. And he's lost money every year on it, which I know he's been very happy to do that and like willing to do that. But it's great that he did not lose money this year.
Yeah.
So really excited for that.
That a lot of the people that you see are there, like Christina.
It's super. Paid. Yeah. Like it's a volunteer. Yeah. We're all there because we want to build this community, and like people are pitching in and like doing incredible work. But yes, let's answer. This is my favorite thing to do after beer camp is to answer the final questions that we didn't get to.
So we had questions at the hot wings that y'all put in that we didn't get to because of the nature of how many sauces there are. So what we've done typically is to go through, and I put these in my purse. In fact, until Christy asked me, I lied to her and said, yes, I do have them because I remember putting them in there. But I did have them until I looked, and they were still in the same little pocket.
That's perfect. Yep.
So I have not looked at them, but this was the one I picked. It's in my giant mug of second place that I got.
Second place, whatever. All right. What's our question?
How's the mouth feeling right now?
I'm going to answer that retroactively. It felt bad.
Huh?
It felt bad. My mouth felt bad.
The questions this year were very interesting because they were far less theological and more just like, but I think that also shows the community aspect is they were funny.
Yeah. And I think that people were like more playing into who they know us to be as well. Like,
Okay. So how was the mouth? Watch the video. It was bad.
It was not good. It was not good.
What is the most woke form of liberation theology?
Ooh, that's a good question. What is the most woke form of liberation theology?
Well, I don't know how you define woke, really, except for, and I don't mean that in a nitpicky way. Like, what do you mean by woke? Like, woke as in, like, how they use it on the right? Like,
no, I would say, I mean, well, we could say how they use it on the right, but that would just be all of it.
Like,
but I would say, like, if we're using it in its proper way, which just means, like, awakened to injustice. Obviously, I think there are a couple that I would point out. One is intersectional liberation theology, which clearly like is dealing with a lot of the aspects of various oppressions. So feminist or race or queer or economic, because that's one of them that doesn't get talked about as much, I think. But I also would say post-colonial.
Black theology, if you use that phrase.
Black theology, I think, also tends to be more intersectional than the others as well.
But I think intersectional is a little bit of a get out of jail free card. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that it is kind of a catch-all in that way. Like
it is a catch-all, but if it's done intentionally, like if the person is meaning to do it instead of it just being like I'm just trying to do everything, if they're like, I know how to do intersectional theology.
Yeah.
I think that would be, but my other would be post-colonial. Because it's post-colonial theology is usually addressing multiple aspects as well. But
because I guess you could say that, like, womanist theology is intersectional, even though they would say it's womanist theology because it's
right. Technically is, but yeah. Let's say womanist. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say womanist. There we go. Kelly Brown Douglas.
Kelly Brown Douglas. Shout out. We're obviously fangirling quite a bit on this podcast, so it's fine. I'd say that to her. It was great.
How tall was Jesus? Is it relevant? No.
No, but he was short.
How do you know?
I think they said that somewhere. I don't know. I'm just assuming.
Let's ask
Pedens. How tall was Jesus?
That we got. We would shout Pedens if there was a Bible question. Oh, this is one. It just says poetry or math.
Poetry. Absolutely poetry.
Have you seen my favorite thing to post, and I'll post it again for the millionth time, is that scene in Dead Poets Society where he's talking about...
Yes, I show that.
All of these are noble pursuits, but poetry.
Poetry. No, I show that in my humanities class every semester. I show them that clip. I want to emphasize, I have moved beyond math in my life. I don't have to do it anymore. I have a calculator.
We got AI for words. Do we need math?
I have on the thing I carry with me at all times has a calculator on it. I don't need math anymore.
I'm going to put this. What is the capital of Rwanda? That would have been funny to try to figure out while we were in the hot ones.
Just because we'd be like, I think it's this. We would have been like, we're gonna figure this out.
I sure don't know.
I am sorry.
Capital of Rwanda. The problem is being asked. It's Kigali, Christy. Clearly, Kigali.
Yep, that's what it is. I would have thrown something at somebody.
Oh God! At first, I was like, I have my glasses on. What's happening? I couldn't read it. I kind of like these questions now because they are getting more familiar with us.
Yeah.
This is a key bit.
No, O-H-I-O!
I thought those were words that I couldn't read.
There's dashes. It's O-H-dash. And Leah thought that the dashes were words.
If you saw my puzzled look, I was trying to
because she's blind as a bat.
Sure am. And so that's Chris. Yeah, that's what they forget. How to spell their own state names.
You know what? That's true. It's a joke I make often that Ohio's tier is to spell the state.
Of all the ones we've got. There's a lot of fan fiction questions we got, like what happened to Joseph.
Oh my God, there's a lot of fan fiction.
Do you think that Paul ever met Jesus? Which I thought was an interesting
Before question. Jesus died. Yeah. Do you think Paul and Jesus met before Jesus?
I mean,
the story is they met on the road to Damascus. I feel like we need to just clarify.
Well, the trend.
Ghost Jesus. Him. Ghost Jesus. Anyway, there was a lot of fanfiction. Also, Fuck, Marry, Kill, which I stand by my answer.
Mark Driscoll,
Thomas Aquinas, and Trip.
I think we killed Mark Driscoll very quickly.
Yep.
Or Alicia about Trip if we could have permission to be a sister wife, and then
I would marry Thomas Aquinas because
I said I would marry Trip.
I said I would marry Thomas Aquinas because I was against necrophilia, which I remember saying because I was in such a state of pain and horror that it was like
doing in your marriage
I could think of. No, because I said this is posted on our video or on our Instagram. I can just be married to him in my mind.
I love that I don't remember it. It all becomes a blur if you ever do the hot ones. Because
it does. It's hard to focus, and it's really hard to answer genuine questions when all you can think about is how your mouth.
But I love that even with a dead man and a married man,
Bernie,
like, I will ask his wife.
Absolutely. Before kill Mark Driscoll. Yeah. Absolutely kill Mark Driscoll. I stand by it.
Hopefully he doesn't die. How does human-centric thinking serve as a foundation for the creation of religion? So that's a good one.
That is a good one.
How does human-centric thinking... So I talk about, well, I say the sociologists of religions talk about this more, is that, you know, there is a theory that religions exist because of us having to organize and cope with life in a community setting. So a lot of like rituals and rites and things like that, but also understandings of, because we see it in indigenous stuff, is that
even
before we had the monotheistic religions, is that they had rituals and stuff that related to the fact that people were born and people died, and that, you know, there were feelings about that clearly.
Even if you look at like when biblical scholars try to understand or work through the creation story in Genesis, overwhelmingly what they're telling us is that it was an attempt to organize the chaos of ancient life. And so inherently what's going on with religion or any kind of belief in God is attempts at figuring out how our relationship to either the world or the supernatural or ourselves or other people is meant to operate. I also don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's fine.
It's not a bad thing at all. It's not a bad thing. I think, I mean, politics operate in a lot of a similar system of organization. I think, you know, in creating some sort of system out of the chaos. I mean, I think you could do a really pessimistic view and say that, you know, some scholars say that death is essentially why religions exist, because people die. I'm not saying I necessarily agree with that, but I do think the question, those big questions, always put them up in my intro to world religions class, is that what we find in in most of the world religions, if not all, is that there's a common set of questions.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, why are we here? What happens when we die?
Who are we?
What is
my purpose? Who are we? What is my purpose? Yeah.
To the earth and to things
beyond. Across the board. I had a student ask me recently, well, they were asking specifically, what's the big difference between Christianity and other religions? And I was like, look, I'm not here to tell you what religion is right. And inherently, there is no difference. All religions have different beliefs. Some of them we find more compelling than others. And this has a lot to do with our backgrounds and our cultural awareness and things like that. Geography, where you were born, what you were born into, all sorts of things are part of why we follow the religion we follow. But also, and in fact, they're all answering the same questions, you know, like you just said. And even if we're talking about, you and I are Christians, we have said this time and time again, I find Christianity most compelling. I have no desire to change religions or to stop identifying as a Christian. At the same time,
that's based on your background too. I mean,
it is, yes, absolutely based on my background. But like at the same time, I am able to recognize that what I'm doing is trying to make sense of my own life, 100%. My place in the world, and whether or not there's anything bigger than me that I can depend on or look to.
Would say,
but that's fine. There's nothing to be upset about. Yeah.
As long as you're not oppressed. But I think also like you're trying to force people into understanding your background and understanding your geography and to make them get what you're getting. I think that's where it starts to get evangelical and it starts to get very oppressive, but it's like, and there's no problem with sharing your perspective. It's just understanding that not everyone comes from the background that you do. And some people could be reductive and say, oh, well, you know, then it's really just a human thing. And you know me, I love a good human construct, but it's also like, I think the counter argument to that you could say is, like humans are scared, so they're creating these systems out of nothing, but they're scared of common things, and this is a human condition.
Yeah.
You could argue that, and I hear that.
I hear that.
You could also argue that God, we all have these common questions because we are creations of God. And our different geographical locations or different places or different backgrounds mean that we approach things in different ways, but the reason that we have these commonalities, and there's a fallacy in that of like, you know, correlation's not causation. I get that. Like philosophers out there, but I do think that there's something to be said that these are our life events, that whether you are born in India or you are born in Scotland or you were born in China, like, we live a life that is different, but that has similar beginnings and ends.
Yep.
And there's going to be a common.
There's going to be commonalities. And also, and I think this is something you and I talked about a while ago, but it holds true for me, is that studying world religions has actually made me more religious and not less. And it's because seeing the commonalities makes me feel more certain of God in a kind of grand sense, you know, because the commonalities make me feel like we can't all be asking these questions and then also be coming up with, while religions are very different and there's a host of different aspects, there are a lot of similarities across a lot of the religions that I feel like just kind of emphasize that there's a commonality going on in the answers we're being given, you know? And yeah, so,
and basically you've just heard a defense of universalists there. I mean,
which I would say I fit into, you know.
Yeah, that's fine. It's not like a defense, like I'm going to punch you in the face. It's just,
no, I mean, like, I think that's part of it. And like, one of my favorite analogies of God is that God is a disco ball, which I actually heard from an evangelical person initially. God is a disco ball. Like, we all get different mirrors that we see and reflect things back at us, and we see things and et cetera. And I thought that was really beautiful. And I also felt like it really affirmed some things I already believed about God. But it's also a thing that I keep feeling, you know, more and more weight to as I study various religions, even as they are so different. I'm like, we still keep coming back to certain elements that, you know.
And you see that with the... comparative religion groups. If you see any kind of posts or people writing about comparative religion, they're always with their presentations, they're towing a line between universalism and humans are just scared.
Mm-hmm.
It's always like about common things. So it's an interesting, yeah, if you want to go to do that. Anyway, so on that note, we are at 118. We're all out of questions. We had a great fall. And we'll be going to AAR, where Christy will be giving a paper, and I'll be at the science and religion thing, hopefully winning something. But if not, I'll be eating free food and drinking free wine.
And we're going to be having a great time. We have our, what?
I said white wine.
We are going to have our book club on Wednesday the 19th. We'll be up and visible at some point. I'm going to figure out the video thing on Patreon. But also Lord of the Flies, you know, as we do. But also, again, check out Leah on Systematic Ecology. And
I was just on there for Alien Earth. So if you're interested,
yeah,
it's so a lot that's more sort of pop culture. I've also voluntold Christy for a Buffy thing, so she will also be on there in the somewhat near future.
I'm excited about it. I can talk about Buffy.
I will not be, because I didn't watch it.
So. I can talk about Buffy all day long and have many times. And then yes, come join the Emojelicals. It is through Rethinking Faith and Church and Other Drugs, but it's a really emo time.
For everyone. All right.
All right.
Bye.
See y'all soon. Bye.